Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of What the Hell Happened, Hollywoods. This is my independent therapy because of what I've been going through in my business and personal life. I decided to go ahead and make this blog post, or podcast, I should say, as post for future and to get a lot of this off my chest. We are now embarking on the last day of my teaching obligations at the studio. I'm back in Boston and I am feeling comfortable. Not quite myself yet. It snowed yesterday, so it's very beautiful here. And it gave me a lot of time to think and go back into my thoughts and really try to collect all types of thoughts that I may have not organized yet. I leave this weekend for Florida, and I am going to go back and feature dance. I don't mind being a dancer in places like Florida, Vegas, or Texas, or Atlanta, because they have a strict entertainment value where they truly make the reasons, I guess I should say, for entertaining the thought of a gentleman's club more about the actual experience than about any sexual favors or frustrations, where a lot of the Northeast, I found a lot of the clubs had a different perspective when it came to entertainment. So I usually would travel to places that are more tourist friendly, and that would allow me to be my feature self and do all the fun things I do on the stage or any of the apparatus that they provide. There's this amazing club in Miami that features pole and aerialist. So I'm going to try them as well, but it's my best friend, my baby sister. I love her so much. It's her birthday weekend, and it's my greatest love in Florida, his birthday this weekend, and a couple of my homegirls that I would love to see. So it kind of gives me a little bit of excitement to know that not only am I going for a work vacation, there may be a little bit of a vacation in there. I do feel highly responsible about the classes, and I don't know quite what to do about the little snark remarks about instructors and their responsibility. One student commented to me how instructors change their minds and their life paths. Often, that's the purpose of having a dance studio, is so anyone who may have an additional career has an opportunity to try out maybe a hobby as a career option if they're good enough. Instructors are performers and instructors, so often being taken out of the realm of being actual performer may tarnish what the abilities of the instructor truly are, which is beyond teaching, is showing. It's proving. It's showing and proving. And then there's a lot more reward, financial gain, with performing versus teaching. So there's a lot more enrichment and self-fulfillment when it comes to being a teacher or an instructor. So I'm kind of at odds of how I really should feel about my position as an instructor and the director of classes. Also, because I've done all of the marketing, social media, and advertising, I've kind of let it all go. And I noticed that he is responding to certain students here and there, but by no means is he doing anything to keep the reputation of the studio at first and forefront in a good light. I don't see him doing anything to promote or produce any additional classes. It's just students that are already attending. And unfortunately, if I were to be an instructor more full-time at that studio, I would require $50 a class, and I would also require at least a 3-person minimum in each class. So there would need to be a little bit more advertising and pushing for my classes, so I would make it worth the trip for me taking that travel to go. I'm still displaced at the moment, being almost 2 hours away from the studio. Taking this trip twice a week is kind of tough. Steven's working, and I don't expect him to come from work every day and drive me all the way to Hartford and back just for a few classes. Today is the last day, though, and I'm kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place of whether I should grab a bus, take it to Hartford and teach this class, come back after my performance tomorrow night, or if I should consider borrowing the car, driving down, swinging back. I'm not sure exactly what I should do, but the classes, specifically tonight, seem a little bit out of my way for me to just run all the way down to teach and then run all the way back, because I have my burlesque performance tomorrow night, and I don't know really where I would be staying overnight if I were to go back to Hartford and if I didn't travel immediately back to Boston. So that's my dilemma. And since it's something that any business would be responsible for, I don't think he could afford having me come back and forth at his discretion due to my availability. So today's supposed to be my last day of classes, but we shall see. I still need to get a lawyer on board because I need to know how to dissolve all of the details without his immediate mediation, because John likes to, you know, combat something before he fully listens to the full story of anything. He will be oppositional, and it makes it very difficult to discuss any plans or anything with him. So I find myself in these really odd positions of wanting to help him try to get things together and honestly just washing my hands of everything and letting him figure it out on his own. It's mostly, I would say, I wouldn't say pride, but it's on the verge of feeling prideful that I want to make sure that this business transfers without much delay and without much discrepancy for the students, because I'd really rather them have a nice, clean transition to another instructor or to the ownership of John and whatever his intentions are. I also brought a lifestyle and a community to the studio, which I will no longer be participating in, and that included additional online classes that students paid for in addition to their classes. There was a 7 to 14 day free trial, depending on the student's membership level, and there were additional classes that I would walk students through, which would help prepare them for even more aerials. I won't be participating in that through the studio. I may, if I decide to become a personal trainer, continue that through my own personal endeavors, but that's one of the things that I did through the studio that I know for a fact he would not be able to take control over, including adding on more SKUs like the hand grip and the products that we've created online. I say we because in my head, think of it as a creative collaborative, but there was none. I did everything from creating the clothes, finding the colors, creating the patterns, making up new types of patterns, saying slogans. These things took hours just to make a clothing line for every season. Was working on Christmas before this whole thing blew up, and now they're still listed as Halloween items on the store sites, so that hasn't been attended to. Also, my book sales, any of my publications, anything that I've created, digital files and formats, any affiliates and businesses we have under the umbrella of the studio was completely all mine. So all of the businesses that we are affiliates of or we represent are still under my name with my accounts and most likely going into an account that I most likely manage or own but have not been able to manage because obviously of the whole situation with John's control and having to have access and complete control over those accounts has led us to really trying to find out where that balance was coming from. And for some strange reason all these years, there's absolutely nothing saved, nothing earned, and we're still in the red. So those things are still consistent. And as I mentioned, today is the last day of the classes. I am required under my own obligations to teach. I still wish to tell the students, but I don't wish to tarnish the reputation of the studio. I'm still waiting for an answer from John from my proposal, which he has not responded to yet. And he's mentioned again how I was supposed to have left in August, but he has been backtracking a little and claiming that I also am on the lease of the apartment, so it's mine. So he kind of leads me to a little bit of confusion because I'm not quite sure what he's saying versus what he's doing. I just know this is feeling extremely unstable. I don't really have a place to live. I just have a place to stay. And because the beautiful man that has given me an opportunity to stay in his home truly loves me, I do not wish to move in with him and ruin the opportunity of being able to build a long-lasting real relationship with him. And it's mostly due to me knowing that I can't be a frog jumping from lily pad to lily pad and find my happiness. I truly do need to swim in my own pond for a little while, allow myself to get used to the waters, and then reestablish my new goals for what I'd like in a relationship and making sure those things are prominent, like attending proper couple counseling so we can get first and foremost out what our intentions and needs are so we don't feel misunderstood and I don't have to feel like I'm in a relationship that doesn't have the ability to grow. So with that said, this is the weekend I go away. I do look forward to having a little fun with this, but this is very, very much strictly a business trip, and I'm excited to reestablish my brand as Hollywood and my persona as a burlesque performer and dancer. The last thing that I was told, and this is why I'm leaving it for sort of the end of this presentation here, I'm not even going to call this one a broadcast, because I'm presenting information sort of like off the top of my head, is that I have been labeled and my reputation may be tarnished due to John claiming I am a prostitute. Now, let me clear up what that may mean to him versus what that may mean to me. I have no doubt to believe that his love life is going to remain exactly the way it does because when he, tried to be in a romantic relationship with me, he was very, very underdeveloped sexually. Both his member and his pineal gland just could not connect sexually to an adult experience. So the very few times I experienced a sexual relationship with John, there was very little, and I mean little, very little pleasure for myself. And most of it was extremely embarrassing due to him being on I'm not sure if the medication may have had an hindrance to it, but a testosterone medication reversed what it should have done because of most of the hormonal imbalances that he experienced with his retroperitoneal fibrosis. Long word to say, a lot of things that come along with it, but it is very manageable. Unfortunately, John is not the best patient to represent this disease and in expectations of what it could do and what it could bring as far as reversing most of the diseases, what it actually causes, but he never really considered changing of his diet, changing of his habits. He would just consider changing of his medication. So his mindset was very set on instantaneous things happening due to the work that he put in. Like, he felt anything he put in will eventually result in, you know, some good success. However, relationships is definitely not his strong suit. When I decided that he was not a suitable love partner and we can just continue business, he did find it really, really hard to let me go. And for the fact that I attract a certain type of man, or I am attracted to a certain type of man, may have threatened a lot of his masculinity. For existence, Steven. Steven is an everyday type of guy. He's not a hustler. He's not, you know, a person who needs to do any side gigs. Like, his idea of work comes from his idea of education, and he puts himself out there. Anything he wants to do, he will learn how to do it and then become more successful. He doesn't need to hustle or hustle people or try to, you know, big up on anyone. He never looks at people like that. And that's a huge attraction to me. Men like that attract a vast amount of wealth that's beyond financial. They have a sense of comfort and stability that they can offer that does translate extremely well sexually, because there is a sense of security. There's a sense of a masculinity. There's nothing really tarnishing what they're able to do, because they put themselves out there and they know they can do it if they were to work for it. John isn't that type of man, and it definitely translates romantically and sexually. And so it turns off a woman like myself, because I'm not going to assume that I'm an alpha woman. I'm going to assume that I am a woman with very high expectations who knows how to balance my dominant gene versus my submissive gene for the right man. It does exist in most women, and I feel that it does take a lot of trust, understanding, and communication to be able to get there. I have never been able to get to any sense of trust or communication with John other than through a financial decision. And most of it has just been through pure luck or for the sake of my reputation that things have been successful. So what he's doing now is trying to tarnish and destroy my reputation by claiming that I have sex for money. And that is not only beyond not true, it kind of takes away from what my mission truly is, the reasons why I wrote my book, the reasons why I created all of the different platforms for entertainers that I have, is so we do have a platform that is separate from those that are in the sex work business as performers of adult work. We do know that there is a difference. I, by no means, have a frown on my face when I talk about adult workers, but I'm not one of them. I am in an umbrella of a sex worker because of what I do is in the line of sex work. And based on the actual articles, if you were to look them up, you could also claim that a waitress is a sex worker or a bartender is a sex worker. What I offer is not sexual favors, and who I make love to is not in exchange for any monetary favor or monetary gain. So I'm starting to feel that if I were in a position to sit him down and talk to him about what his idea of what a sex worker is versus what an exotic entertainer is, he's going to assume it's pretty much the same, and mostly because he's never really been further than the backyard of where he is at this moment, and that's led him to only meeting exotic entertainers or dancers that also moonlight as adult sex workers. And if by any chance or by any means he were to, like how he had before, sex with an exotic dancer that was in exchange for any monetary gain, that made him a John, and he was in that position. You also have to realize that exotic dancers are going to make money for the sale of a service, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's sexual. And if an exotic entertainer or dancer does decide to take on a sexual relationship or be in a relationship with a man of any means, it's going to be a man of the same means that she's met in her line of work based on her dating pool, not anything else. The men that she's attracting and the men that she's attracted to may be very well within that same umbrella. And it's unfortunate that men as small-minded as he will now consider me to be a prostitute when I by no means make monetary gain, but I have had plenty of support and sponsorship through my fans. And most of it has been a service that's been exchanged without any sexual favors. And I don't understand why he assumes that because of my line of work that I would, you know, cut ties to things that were accessible. He did forget that the whole floor in Pratt Street was built off of beer and customers. The whole wooden floor was put down from the hard work of some customers that wanted to help and wanted to see a business succeed, and they were paid in beer. And they still did a good job, and they were still within our networks of people. Did I have sex with them? Absolutely not. So he's assuming that every resource that I have had, whether it be a customer from a club or person that I've met or an ex-boyfriend that I've had or anybody that I've come across of the opposite sex, has been through a monetary exchange of a sexual favor. And that doesn't disgust me. That kind of makes me feel, well, fuck, then I should be rich as hell, right? That's not true, though. Why doesn't he give me the real credit that I deserve of what I've done, of taking care of him for the last 13 years, for being by his bedside and his hospital side all those years, and all those classes I canceled because I had to rush him to the hospital, and all those plans that I've changed because I had to do things with him that were more important than doing things with my own family? Why did I have to be in this position for so long before I understood that I needed to take a step back? This leads us to where we are today. Just got off the phone with him, and he exclaimed how he's in a really awful position because the instructor that teaches on the weekends' house just caught on fire, and she's unable to retrieve any of her things until the fire department clears her. I find it to be extremely misfortunate, but I do understand how she needs to find something close to where she is to find her stability again, and it's going to be really tough for her to travel and teach. However, I did mention to him before that that may be an issue that he needs to address earlier than later, because you can't assume that everyone's going to drive or take three-hour trips just to come and teach a class for a few days. I myself have not had classes back-to-back. They've been split up, and so I have had no place to stay after class or before class for the following day. So I have to travel back and forth or travel on train or try to rely on a friend to bring me back and forth. And it's really difficult when you don't have a car or even a place to live to do a job that is almost 2 hours away. So he has to understand that my absence is necessary and I need to think about me. And the first time I've thought about me was actually dissolving this business, because working with him, I'm not really able to think about me. I'm able to only think about what he needs me to bring to the table when he's unable to complete a task, whether it be proofreading an email, sending a text message. There's always some error where it's a misunderstanding of what he's actually trying to say or trying to portray to the client. So I have to either step in as little as communication with clients versus writing and proofing emails to make sure those go out properly and that there's enough information that an actual client could, you know, purchase and buy at that very moment of whatever he's trying to put out, and often being his assistant. And that didn't work. I exclaimed over many years how I needed him to be my assistant, how it was very, very important for him to seek out this managerial education so he would be in a position of feeling more equipped to be able to do his job. And that was mostly why I never offered him more percentage of my business, because he never wanted to educate himself and grow personally in this business. He just wanted to bring whatever he had to the table and implement that and only that. And it made it really hard to scale. It made it really hard to move forward. And there was really no way that I could grow the business with my plans with someone who absolutely sees no, who absolutely has no vision or sees no progression in the track that I'm trying to make. So with all this said, I've had nothing to do with these last couple of weeks of any business being done at the studio, and I'm pretty sure it's been causing somewhat of chaos and havoc. I do not wish to be involved because I stand firmly in my decision to back away, give him what he wants, just so I can have my freedom. If I were to even send out an email or information about the instructor's availability or just even create a GoFundMe to help her out, that would be participating again, and I don't wish to participate in any pole control studio endeavors with John being a part of it. So either he decides to dismiss himself completely and omit his 1%, or he accepts my 75% so we can go our separate ways. But this has to be done sooner than later, because I feel a little bit overwhelmed. Even my staying my welcome here, even at Steve's, is going to be a little bit of a problem, because often I feel we clash when we spend too much time together, and it's mostly because I don't really understand or know his moods and his swings. I know when he's tired, he doesn't communicate, and it makes it really hard for me to understand if he's mad or if he's just tired. And then I don't know how to give him the space that he needs to feel better, other than just to be completely absent. So there I lay again with not really understanding where my roles are and what roles I truly play in the life, but I'm trying. Because that's what you do when you're in love. You do try, and you push, and you want things to be better, so you try to give all the answers to all the test questions that are coming your way, just so you both will have an opportunity to pass this together. Now, I haven't considered Stephen's feelings when it comes to speaking about him publicly, but I know he may feel now, since he knows, a little uncomfortable, because he doesn't know the quality of what I communicate. And I want to make it known that even over these last 3 years of being together and being back and forth on and off, that's been our hugest obstacle, was making sure our communication was on a level of comfort to share it with others. I never wanted that appearance of, you know, boyfriend hopping from one relationship to the other. However, these last few years has made me feel like I've been putting my family and my reputation as far as my romantic life sort of like on that cutting room floor, and letting it be known all out there that, you know, this guy got cut, this guy got cut, this guy got cut, this one's back on the table, whatever. It's not like that for me. If I'm truly done with you, I'm done with you. And often I feel that Steve and I are never really done. We're just having such differences with the organization, I should say, of this new phase of life, that we don't know really where to fit. We know when we're together, things are extremely comfortable, and when I'm not obligated in other directions, he is more of the center of my attention, and it possibly makes him feel a lot more comfortable about being in the relationship that we are in. However, I love him dearly, and I'm willing to grow and learn what it takes to make him happy. And I hope that this does last forever, and I could move forward with a man that I know who's been there for me through this true
tested part of my life of thick and thin through good times and bad. So with all that said, I'm going to chime off for today. Until next time on What the Hell Happened Hollywoods. Thank you for chiming in, and I look forward to talking to you all soon.